Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. It's 100 years since the death of Captain Robert Scott, or Scott of the Antarctic, the British explorer who failed to be the first to reach the South Pole, and who died with his team as they tried to get back to base. Alan Johnston reports.
It is 1912, and five figures are inching their way across the frozen wilderness that is the Antarctic. For weeks, Captain Robert Scott and his party have been on the long, hard trek home, returning from the South Pole. They'd attempted to be the first men to reach it, ahead of a rival Norwegian expedition. But in his diary, Captain Scott had to record this moment of devastating realisation.
About the second hour of the march, Bauer's sharp eyes detected what he thought was a cairn. Half an hour later, he detected a black speck ahead. Soon we knew that this could not be a natural snow feature. We marched on, found that it was a black flag near the remains of a camp. Sledge tracks and ski tracks going and coming, and the clear trace of dogs' paws. Many dogs. This told us the whole story. The Norwegians have forestalled us, and are first at the pole. It is a terrible disappointment, and I am very disappointed for my loyal companions. Many thoughts come, and much discussion have we had. All the daydreams must go, and it'll be a wearisome return.
The successful Norwegian commander, Captain Roald Amundsen, had relied heavily on dogs to haul sledges carrying supplies. Captain Scott has been criticised for failing to do the same and for other organisational shortcomings. But at the Scott Polar Research Institute at Cambridge, here in Britain, Heather Lane argues that many of the attacks on Scott's reputation have been misguided.
A lot of people have seen him as a kind of slightly blundering fool who hadn't really planned any of this, and it was kind of boy's own adventure stuff. I think that's deeply unfair. He seems to me somebody who'd been extraordinarily thoughtful about the process. The technology of the time was being used, perhaps not quite to its best advantage in the way that Amundsen was using it, but they'd modified the way that they dealt with the technology of polar travel. They're learning all the time.
But there were miscalculations, weren't there? Five men to the pole, for example.
That, I think, is something that we will never really understand, why Scott makes that decision. Take an extra man. It's never fully explained in his letters or his diaries. They probably didn't have quite the time they needed to transfer all of the rations and equipment for a five-man team, so that they had absolutely everything. So that is a strange decision in many ways.
On that grueling return journey from the pole, Scott's party was trudging into gathering danger. 100 years ago, the understanding of dietary needs weren't what they are today. The meagre supplies weren't sustaining the exhausted men, and they were weakening all the time. But much more significantly, they ran into weather that was extraordinarily bad, even by the standards of the Antarctic.
Friday, March 16th, or Saturday 17th. Lost track of dates, but think the last correct. Tragedy all along the line. At lunch, the day before yesterday, poor Titus Oates said he couldn't go on. He proposed we should leave him in his sleeping bag. That we could not do, and induced him to come on the afternoon march. In spite of its awful nature for him, he struggled on, and we made a few miles. At night he was worse, and we knew the end had come. Should this be found, I want these facts recorded. Oates's last thoughts were of his mother, but immediately before he took pride in thinking that his regiment would be pleased with the bold way in which he met his death. We can testify to his bravery. He slept through the night before last, hoping not to wake, but he woke in the morning, yesterday. It was blowing a blizzard. He said, "I'm just going outside, and maybe some time." He went out into the blizzard, and we have not seen him since. I take this opportunity of saying that we have stuck to our sick companions to the last. In case of Edgar Evans, when absolutely out of food and he lay insensible, the safety of the remainder seemed to demand his abandonment, but Providence mercifully removed him at this critical moment. He died a natural death, and we did not leave him till 2 hours after his death. We knew that poor Oates was walking to his death, but though we tried to dissuade him, we knew it was the act of a brave man and an English gentleman. We all hope to meet with a similar spirit, and assuredly the end is not far. Sunday, 18th of March. Today, lunch, we are 21 miles from the depot. Ill fortune presses, but better may come. We have had more wind and drift from ahead yesterday, and had to stop marching. Wind northwest, force 4. Temperature, minus 35. No human being could face it, and we are worn out nearly. The others still confident of getting through, or pretend to be. I don't know. We camped with difficulty last night, and were dreadfully cold till after supper, of cold pemmican and biscuit and half a pannikin of cocoa cooked over the spirit. Then, contrary to expectation, we got warm and slept well. Today we started in the usual dragging manner. Sledge dreadfully heavy. We are 15.5 miles from the depot and ought to get there in 3 days. We have 2 days' fuel. All our feet are getting bad. My right foot worse. Amputation is the least I can hope for now, but will the trouble spread? That is the serious question. The weather doesn't give us a chance. The wind from north to northwest, and minus 40 today. Thursday, 22nd, and 23rd March. Blizzard bad as ever. Must be near the end. Have decided it shall be natural. We shall march for the depot, with or without our effects, and die in our tracks. Thursday, 29th of March. Every day we've been ready to start for our depot, 11 miles away, but outside the door of the tent, it remains a scene of whirling drift. I do not think we can hope for any better things now. We shall stick it out to the end, but we are getting weaker, of course, and the end cannot be far. It seems a pity, but I do not think I can write more. Ah, Scott, for God's sake, look after our people.
8 months later, the bodies of Captain Scott, Edward Wilson and Henry Bowers were found in their tent. Scott had lost his race to the pole and failed to get his men home safely. But his personal courage in the face of overwhelming adversity is never questioned. And for many in his own country, he became a special kind of hero, a heroic failure. A phrase in a letter found with his journal captured the kind of stoicism that the British often like to admire. He wrote, "We took risks. We knew we took them. Things have come out against us, and therefore we have no cause for complaint."
Alan Johnston. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.